welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet. I'm Maddie the Fan. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lose by a score of 103-95 against the Dallas Mavericks. It was a tough one, mostly because the Raptors had no answers offensively to keep up with Dallas, who obviously have an MVP candidate in Luka Doncic. Luka was sensational tonight, particularly on the offensive end, where he obviously is dominant. And I know there's a lot of talk coming into the season for Dallas in terms of, hey, we want to diversify the offense a little bit. We got Jason Kidd coming in. He's going to switch up things that Rick Carlisle did and maybe democratize the offense. Didn't see a lot of that today. I saw Luka having the ball every single trip down the floor for pretty much the entire game, especially in the second and third quarters, where Dallas really started to eat into Toronto's early advantage. The Raptors led 25-18, and it was difficult for two reasons. Number one is difficult because Luka's difficult. He made just a number of rainbow jumpers. He has such an incredible touch when he drives to the rim, and he's got a little floater that he just never misses on, really. And of course, the passing is sublime. I mean, some of the passes, it looked like he almost was trying to show off, but it wasn't showing off. It was just him tricking the defense. There's one play late in the fourth where Luka drove, used his eyes to pretend like he was going to hit the left side of the floor, and then did a sort of one-legged jump into the air and then flipped it to his right, no look, perfectly to the corner. Maxi Kleber hits the three. So Luka's just tough. But I also think it was tough because the Raptors' defense, the way they're constructed, they need to create deflections. They need to create turnovers. And it's a lot easier to do against a team that is trying to move the ball side to side, multiple people attacking the ball, setting up plays, just, I guess, a standard offense. But where it really, really struggles is against an offense like Dallas, which primarily goes through Luka, right? It's like he has the ball every single time down. So, it's hard to create turnovers in that situation. Dallas had 9 turnovers today. Don't know what the final totals for the Raptors in terms of deflections are just yet. NBA.com has not updated that just yet. But I would have to say the Raptors probably only got like maybe 15 deflections all game. And it was a total different type of performance defensively than what the Raptors got against Washington, where they limited them to under 100 points. Of course, against Boston, which was just a sensational effort defensively and just all around in terms of their physicality and everything. They overwhelmed Boston. And it's not like Dallas, their offense was sensational tonight either. I mean, you'll take 103 points. That's pretty standard, if not below standard, especially for the modern game, especially for a team like Dallas that has been tops in the NBA in defense before. But, 42% shooting from Dallas, 33% from the three, and 13 of 18 in free throw line. Like, it doesn't seem that bad, except for the fact that it's not necessarily about the results of how the shots necessarily went in or out. It's really about the style of play they had. And it was just very hard to create any turnovers against them because Luka just had it every single trip down. I mean, the Raptors have all this length, have all this athleticism on the floor, but when Luka's in the middle of the floor operating on pick and roll, there's only so many things you can really do there. You can't use the same look more than maybe even twice because he'll figure it out. You might say, well, okay, you can either choose to let him score versus let, some of the other guys get free. And I think the Raptors did mostly try to do that. I think at times, Nick, obviously being an innovative coach, tried a couple of different things defensively. But it just seemed like Luka had an answer for all of it. And, where the Raptors might come to regret this game is probably in certain parts where, I think their bench defensively did not set the tone well for the start of the fourth quarter there. I mean, look, the bench was just not good, period, tonight. But especially at the start of the fourth quarter, it just seemed like they kept letting the one scorer for Dallas, that being Tim Hardaway Jr., they just kept letting him get free for threes. And, of course, it's easier said than done, but you need to stick with him. You need to be with him at all times because he is a knockdown three-point shooter, very aggressive three-point shooter, and he got two threes there that stretched Dallas's lead to double digits. And it just kind of felt like on a night where the Raptors couldn't get the deflections, couldn't really play in transition. The Raptors only had 12 fast break points. This was a very slow-paced game. The Raptors just weren't able to create enough offense because, as we have described and anticipated, this is not a team that's going to be very good at half-court offense. So in a completely half-court game like this one, where the Raptors barely ever got out in transition because of the way Dallas played offense, this is the result where the Raptors struggle offensively. We kind of saw it against Washington as well, although the Washington game, I'm still trying to understand why they lost that one. That still seems improbable to me. But in this game, I mean, the Raptors, 40% from the field, 11 of 37 from three, just kind of wasn't enough. And a lot of that is because the Raptors couldn't get on the fast break. We saw against Boston, for example. I mean, they were turning them over. They were running in the break. Scotty Barnes getting three transition layups. You see Precious Achiuwa taking it coast to coast. You see Chris Boucher streaking down for layups. Gary Trent. It was just like a procession of that. And that's why they're able to beat Boston by 32 points. When you take transition away from Toronto, that's when they are really going to struggle. And I thought the Raptors gave it a really good defensive effort, of course, especially on the second half of back-to-back, coming off the high against that win over Boston. You know, I thought the first half they carried over some of that energy. But as the second half wore on, their legs kind of went out from under them. I also have to give Dallas a lot of credit. I think defensively, they did a pretty good job of adjusting to a couple of things. I think in particular, they took away OG Anunoby. OG was lights out to start this game, maybe even caught Dallas off guard a little bit, but he was just playing in such a rhythm, such a zone. That was the kind of OG that we expected to see this season. All the anticipation, all the hype over OG, he delivered in the first half. But because of how the second quarter ended, where OG was slapped with a couple of cheap fouls, because of the way that Dallas adjusted their defense to stick with OG a little bit more and just essentially basically force the ball out of his hands in a way, or just at least deny him the ball. He just didn't see much of the ball in the second half period. That kind of limited the one driving factor in what the Raptors were doing well at the start of the game, where they did lead 25-18, largely because OG had a sensational start. And the rest of the guys just couldn't fully make up for that. I think Gary Trent had a tough night in terms of him forcing his offense. I thought he got some pretty good looks, but at the same time, 3 of 14 is, you know, not a good ratio in terms of makes to misses. And honestly, you needed something off the bench. I think the starters as a whole, I mean, Precious with 10 and 13, 10 and 12, that's roughly what you would expect. OG with 23 and 4. You know, Scotty Barnes with 17. Really came on strong late for Scotty. He was in foul trouble. Fred played a very good game, especially for what Fred can do. 20 and 5, and those were a hard-earned 20 and 5. And even Gary still gave you 12. That's not terrible. But it was just a complete lack of production off the bench. And Chris Boucher coming into the game, 8 minutes, 0 of 5, forced up so many contested shots. It was hard to watch, I would say. And, you know, like it just seemed like the Raptors didn't have what it took offensively off the bench. That was hard to watch on that front. It really was. I think you wanted to see at least one of Boucher or Dragic give you something offensively, and Boucher was benched outright. Nick just took him out of the game. He just, I guess, was probably sick of seeing Boucher jack up bad threes. And so that's understandable. But then you needed Dragic to step in and do something. And he just was not good, period. 14 minutes for Goran Dragic, 2 points, 1 of 3 from the field, couldn't get anything going. Doesn't seem like he has much of a two-man chemistry. Usually when you've seen Dragic in previous years and previous stops, whether that's at Houston or Phoenix, or especially in Miami, he would get pretty good two-man games working with some of his guys. And usually he needs that screen from the big and that sort of partnership to get himself going. But you know, Dragic has not had that. I don't think him and Kem have really paired well together. Him and Boucher have been almost comical. And yeah, I mean, the results were just poor from Goran Dragic. I think you expect more from him offensively in particular, because defensively you already know he's a liability. Based on just his size, his athleticism, it kind of sticks out. He is the one that looks very different from the rest of the team. But you know, it would be good if Goran could at least produce something for this team, and he just had nothing against Dallas. And of course, you know, it was a game where the Raptors really needed something, right? Because I think if you had Pascal in this game, I think he would have made a big impact. I think even if you had Utah in this game, it would have been a big impact. I think one of the keys to stopping, or at least slowing down Dallas, is if you go to a five-wing lineup and you start to switch a couple of actions, you force Luka to play more one-on-one, you keep him in front instead of letting him get into the lane and then, you know, pick you apart. That's generally speaking how you stop this Dallas team, because the Clippers have done it to them twice in a row in the playoffs. But the Raptors, without Pascal, without Yuta, and with honestly OG and Precious in foul trouble, that hurts. And so that took away that option for the Raptors. So I would love to hear from the listeners as well. We are taking calls. You can hit us up at 1-888-666-590. Or you can hit us up at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590-590. We would love to hear some of the callers and some of the reactions to this game. But in terms of the other facets that kind of stood out, I think, first off, OG was very promising in the first half. I think that was an encouraging sight. Watching him warm up and shoot around, it almost seemed like he was frustrated with himself. It seemed like there were a couple of things that he was doing preseason, perhaps, where he just looked so confident shooting the ball, and of course the results looked better. Even watching him pregame, it seemed like he was changing his shot just slightly, dropping deeper and dipping deeper to get his shot up. It didn't really feel as free-flowing, I think, in terms of his rhythm. He didn't really have a good rhythm there. And what else? I would say that, you know, I just feel like technically it was a little bit different. I think early in the preseason, he was taking a lot of these warm-up shots and practice shots where he kept the ball really high on the catch and went up for a quick, short release, and he was making all of those. Now it kind of seemed like he was dipping a lot lower. He was dropping the ball sort of below his waist to raise it up to get the distance on the shot. That seemed very, very different from sort of the way he operated previously. And so I didn't know how he was going to perform in-game just based on that. Perhaps I'm putting too much, perhaps I'm putting too much stock in a pregame, but he did come out really, really sharp, and I loved his approach in this game. It was a relief, because in his first shift of the game, I mean, his first basket, driving inside, you know, had Luka on him, got past Luka on the perimeter, and then got all the way to the rim. Kristaps Porzingis, 7'3", was at the rim. OG dunked it. That's great. Another play, OG cutting along the baseline, seals his man behind him, gets a high-low feed. He finishes a layup. Then he comes off a pick and roll, has Kristaps Porzingis backing up, step back in the mid-range, no problem. Then he had a nice steal against Luka Doncic, which was one of five of Luka's turnovers in the game. Then he had a block on Kristaps Porzingis on a jumper, which, again, not easy. A guy's 6'3", not easy to go, or 7'3", not easy to block a guy at 7'3". And, you know, he was just looking really good. Hit a corner three, hit another corner three from the right side against the Mavericks zone defense. Like, it was an incredible start for OG Anunoby. It was exactly the kind of thing that we've been looking from him. And I think really the biggest difference was he was just playing so much within the flow of the offense. I like the fact that the Raptors got him a couple of easy baskets early on at the rim. Start there, get out to the perimeter a little bit. And it was just an efficient night for OG as a whole. The only thing that hurt OG tonight was the foul trouble. And that'll happen when, you know, you're guarding Luka and you're sort of out of position a little bit. And again, Luka just creates all sorts of problems. I don't mean to repeat this over and over again, but he really is a real problem on the offensive end. And, you know, I think you want to see I think you want to see that kind of rhythm from OG in any case, where he's getting shots within the flow of the offense. The nice thing for OG today is that he didn't have to force his shots. He didn't have to run so many pick and rolls. To be honest, he hasn't looked particularly good running pick and rolls against Washington, against Boston. There's a lot of instances where he was stepping back on contested shots where he wasn't in balance. A lot of situations where he would drive into the paint and get blocked. Right, we saw him get blocked by Daniel Gafford. In the first game, we saw him get blocked by Robert Williams. In the second game, it was tough. Today, it felt much more like OG played within himself, within his game. And, you know, the only disappointment, I guess, is the fact that he kind of disappeared a little bit in the second half. Only had 3 points, I believe, in the second half. But still a pretty good game from OG. And, you know, this is something encouraging to build on, I think. Not necessarily, I don't think he'll lose his confidence after, like, two games, especially after so much progress in the offseason. But I do believe that he can do a little bit better in terms of what he has done offensively. And I think clearly he did that tonight. And I have really no complaints about his offense tonight. I mean, in terms of other positives in this game, I thought Fred played really well. There was a stretch there in the second quarter where he was missing up a couple threes. And that, I think I wanted to see drop for Fred a little bit, because he is a really good three-point shooter. Hasn't really been as accurate to start the year here. But I thought Fred just did such a good job for the Raptors in the second half, where the Raptors were so empty offensively. I mean, 21 points in the third quarter. They were stuck on like 6 points in the fourth quarter for like the first 6-7 minutes. Finally got it going towards the end there, but you know, the game was already kind of gone as well. But in between there, the only guy who was generating anything was Fred, who was getting into the lane, driving into the middle, and creating something. I think one thing that people have wanted to see from Fred is the mid-range game. People want to see him being able to create from that front and being able to, you know, give a different look on the pick and roll, because we obviously know that Fred wants to drive. You know, we know that he wants to hit the three, but what can you do in between, right? And when the defense sort of takes away all the other stuff, can you still generate a tough bucket? And I thought Fred did a really good job with that today. Three mid-range jumpers in the third quarter. All of them are pretty tough, but all of them were necessary looks. Like, it felt like the Raptors were dying and starving for any, you know, anything they can get offensively. And Fred was, you know, the guy for them there. And defensively, I mean, it's a little bit tough, because I think, generally speaking, where Fred really excels is creating deflections and creating havoc. And in this game, it was just very hard to help and double and create something because of the fact that you had Luka controlling everything in the middle of the floor. It's just really hard to double him. If you do, you're probably giving up a wide open shot. And that's why Luka had, what, 12 assists today? He's just very good. I really, really, really don't want to always harp on this, but it's true. But that being said, this is a pretty good Fred performance. I thought the 25-5 from Fred was impressive to see from him. In terms of the other positives from this game, I mean, it was harder to see some of them from Scotty. I think obviously Scotty had such a really, really encouraging breakout game against Boston. He looked like he could have done something similar in this game, except for the fact that he was in foul trouble. And that's what really bothered me, actually. It was in the second quarter. It felt like Dallas just got every single call. And it at one point, the free throw disparity was 15-5. And I'm not even really so worried about that so much as the fact that it was like any time you touched Luka, you swiped at the ball 90 feet from your basket, and that was getting called as fouls. Anything was sort of... any sort of small swipe or anything like that was just getting called. It was annoying to watch. And, you know, the Raptors have wanted to put Scotty Barnes on, you know, their toughest opponents here. We've seen him on Tatum. We've seen him on Beal. And today we've seen him on Luka, and Luka kind of put him in foul trouble early, you know, where Scotty just was either a little over-aggressive against Luka on the ball, or he was a step late rotating, and probably just, you know, there are a couple of plays I remember at the rim were sort of bang bang. To be honest, it could be no calls depending on how you want to call the game, but Scotty landing in foul trouble, so he couldn't really impact the game until later on. But then when he started to do that in the fourth quarter, it was like, all right, someone's just got to go because the Raptors are stuck and there's almost no time left. Someone's got to go. And we saw Scottie, you know, take the ball into the post, you know, finish through contact. We saw him just cross over his man on the perimeter, get into the rim, two-handed dunk. That was probably the play of the game for the Raptors. It felt very much like, okay, for a second there, he was taking over. The only thing was he was taking over with like 2-3 minutes left in the game, Raptors down 10. That was just a little bit too late. But to be honest, it was really just the foul trouble that limited him. Because I think on a typical night, especially in this specific matchup, you would want to play Scotty more than 30 minutes. But five fouls, that's going to really limit you. So let's get to some of our callers. We have Ishmael from Toronto, wants to talk about coaching. What's going on, Ishmael?
Hey, what's going on, buddy? Good?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you doing?
I'm frustrated, man. Yo, first of all, okay. What is up with the dribble handoffs, man, top of the key? Like, this Nick Nurse has got to understand that, you know, you can't put like 4, 6, 9, 6, 10 guards and not have a single score on the floor. Like, there are times that where we just completely, I mean, it's been happening the three games. Like, we're completely lost out there. As soon as a team comes up close to us, ties it, takes a 2-point lead, we're like scrambling. We don't have a single shooter out there, man.
No, I hear you. I think offensively they're going to struggle this season, period. I mean, even when Pascal comes back, I still think that there's going to be some issues. But the perimeter shot creation is just limited on this team. I think you would expect to see some from Goran. He honestly looked like he was a double agent today based on how poorly he played. It felt like he was already on the Mavericks. And then, you know, OG can give you a little bit of that. But to be honest, he was very absent in the second half. And then it's Fred and it's Gary. And Fred had it going a little bit. And Gary didn't have it as much. And, yeah, we know this team's not good on offense, especially when they have to play a lot of half court. So I hear the frustration there. It is frustrating to see this game, especially on the heels of what happened against Washington.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, appreciate it. Let's go to Manur from Milton. I'm sorry if I butchered your name, man, but what's going on?
Hi, how's it going?
Hey. Well, you want to talk about Scottie Barnes?
Yeah. I don't know. I love, love, love seeing him play. It's scary to think of injuries so early on into the season, but I just hope that we get to see him play more. That's my main thing. I really like seeing him play.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really fun seeing how much he can physically dominate a game because the Raptors aren't giving the ball that much yet, but he is just finding opportunities to contribute. I thought the Boston game was a great example of why it's really, really exciting to watch Scottie. I don't think they ran a single play for him. Like, it wasn't like coming out of the timeout, we're going to clear out one side of the floor and give it to Scottie, and he's going to beat his man and, you know, score the basket or do something, you know, like there was just purely within the flow and he got 25 points. And it's very much the same deal today, 17 points in 30 minutes. I like the fact that late in the game, he felt the responsibility of, okay, everybody just needs to find a way to score. Like, forget the hierarchy, forget like, hey, this is the play we want to run and we want to do this triple handoffs and this and that. It was Scottie just like, no, it's my turn. I'm going to do this. And he has done a really good job of, just being physical and going downhill and playing at the rim. That's where obviously he's going to be most effective right now, is the fact that he's not a great jump shooter. We have seen the mid-range jumper for him. Obviously in the Celtics game, I think he made three of them. Today, I don't remember him making a mid. Oh, I know he made one little baseline jumper, but you know, that was just kind of off a broken play. But without that jumper right now, he's still being able to affect the game on the offensive end just by going downhill and slashing, cutting. He's 6'9". He's big. He's so strong, especially for a rookie. It's actually kind of scary to see how built he already is at this age. And he's creating advantages. He's creating opportunities. And to be honest, it really was just the two things that you mentioned. He got the little, he bumped his hip or something. He went back to the locker room for maybe 2-3 minutes, came right back to the bench. I didn't think it was going to be something that serious. That limited his time. And of course, the foul trouble. And that's, the foul trouble is something that's going to be important for him to learn a little bit, especially if Nick continues to put him on the most difficult defensive assignments, is that we do need you to find a way to play without fouling. And that's very hard for a young guy to sort of master. And of course, it's very hard in particular because they're putting him on the toughest matchups. But when he's allowed to play, when he sort of plays just on instinct, it's very fun to watch him. Because I thought there was a two or three plays late there in the fourth quarter when I was like, okay, if everybody's on the floor and you can give the ball to anybody to attack, who can get the best shot? And it felt very much like, I'm not really sure it's not Barnes. Like, I think if you get Barnes the ball in the post, if you get him going downhill off a dribble handoff, or you pitch it back and forth and he has to step on his man, he gets to whatever spot he wants to. And that is extremely rare for a rookie, especially of his age and of his experience. So we're going to take a quick break right here. You've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On the other side, we'll take more of caller questions, and we'll also get to our three stars. Welcome back to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Liu. Continue to recap the Toronto Raptors 103-95 loss to the Dallas Mavericks, where the Raptors dropped to 0-2 at home. Before we get to more callers, I wanted to get to a couple of questions that I saw online. And this one came from Brian. Nurse can't win back-to-backs with a super high-intensity defense. I see what they're saying here. I think that, first off, it's just hard, period, to win back-to-backs. Of course, that is not necessarily an excuse, but I think that is a factor. I think also the fact that the Raptors are missing two guys that really, really would play into the rotation and really would help their intensity in terms of Pascal Siakam and Yuta Watanabe, two of the most high-energy players as well. I think having them in a game like this would have really helped. I think, first off, just speaking specifically to this game, they needed to play more wings to play a different style of defense against Luka. And it felt like the Raptors, for the first time, really kind of ran out of them. First half, because of the foul trouble, Nick Nurse goes to Isaac Bonga to end the second quarter there. Bonga gets slapped with a cheap foul against Luka, sending Luka to the free throw line, whatever. But he did create a couple of deflections there. I thought he was good. And then the second half, Nick tried Delano Banton, who was able to come in and bring some energy, but if he doesn't play on the ball, if he's not necessarily carrying it end-to-end, he's not that effective because he is not a three-point shooter at all, or not a jump shooter, period. So I think that in terms of their high-intensity defense, I thought the defense at the start of the game was incredible. It felt like Dallas wasn't even going to get to 80 points. But then at the end of the game, I thought, wow, the Raptors really had no answers. And part of it was the let-off in terms of the difference in energy. I think they really did tire out a little bit. But I also do think that, not to stress this that many times, but Luka's great. What can you say? Surprised he wasn't on the top 75 players list, quite frankly. All right, let's get to our listeners and our callers. We have Glory from Stouffville.
Hi, Will. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Boucher and his play tonight and kind of just the expectations that are on him for the season, because obviously he's been with the Raptors for a while now. And like, as you saw tonight, he was a bit too trigger happy, not making the best decisions. And I think he got benched in the second half of the game. So just wanted to get your thoughts on him and what are the expectations set on him for this year? Because obviously he's been with the team for a while, and Nick, even in his post-game presser, said that Boucher needed to play better.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think definitely he needs Boucher to play better, because he sent him a clear message tonight. Didn't play him at all in the second half in a game where the Raptors needed some offense. And I think it was a good call, because I don't think that Boucher has taken more than three or four good shot attempts in the three games here so far. He's really been erratic. And I think even today, not that necessarily he can't do it, because I think that we've seen occasional flashes of him running like a pick and roll, for example. But like, I mean, come on, you don't really want to see Chris Boucher running pick and roll with Cam Birch, getting to the mid range and pulling up. You know, I'm sure he could hit that shot, but that's just not one of the Raptors' main plays at all. That has to be really low down the priority list. And I think for Chris, defensively, clearly he can impact the game. I thought defensively he had a really nice game against Boston. And today, defensively, he was fine. He had one spectacular play where he missed a three in the right corner, was the last man back on defense, but closed out entirely on the opposite side's left corner, so the same side of the floor. And then I think he blocked Sterling Brown with his elbow for three, and that was an awesome defensive play. You know, incredible highlight, but he just wasn't able to impact this game as much. I think the combo of Boucher and Birch makes a lot of sense in most matchups today. They really struggled. Kem didn't play a lot either, only 18 minutes for him. And that felt like a little bit too much, even in a game like this, because Luka was picking on Kem. Like, that's where Luka really started going offensively, was he just kept targeting Kem Birch in the pick and roll and kept putting him off balance and then splashing rainbow jumpers over him or driving right around him. And that was really tough to see. So Nick kind of split up the duel there. But yeah, I think they know that Boucher is better than what he's shown so far. I think especially off the bench, they need his offense. One way I think to get Boucher involved, or at least get him a good look, generally speaking, last year, whenever you ran a pick and pop for Boucher, he would at least get to a pretty open look. And if you trust him to shoot the three, then that is a shot that you should maybe look for once in a while. And I think the one element that Boucher brings that a lot of the other Raptors forwards don't bring, especially the ones that play center, or I guess he's a power forward, but you know, half the time he's a center essentially, is that he does bring the floor spacing element. Like Precious Achiuwa is not going to space the floor. Even though I guess he can hit the occasional shot, people aren't guarding him out there. Cam Birch, same deal. And it's Boucher is the one that you can stretch the floor and open the paint a little bit, because without that element, we're going to see teams sit back defensively against the Raptors a lot, like a lot. And we've seen it in the Washington game. They completely took away the paint. The Raptors were, you know, misfiring from three. We even saw in the start of the Boston game, of course, the second half, Raptors just took, you know, ran with the game and just did whatever they wanted. But in the first quarter, we saw the struggles where you had Al Horford parked in the paint. You had Rob Williams parked in the paint. They would block everything, right? I think the two of them combined for like six or seven blocks at least. And so what you need is for some of your bigs to start hitting their shots and start taking some good shots. And I think for Boucher, one struggle is, okay, with Cam Birch on the floor, he's going to be the screener a lot of the time because he's the traditional center. So Boucher is having to sort of play on the catch like a wing, having to slash to the rim occasionally, having to run a pick and roll even. And those aren't necessarily his strengths, but he just needs to find a way to contribute. I'm sure Nick will have certain ways to get Chris open, get Chris a look. And to be honest, they need that because the Raptors bench scoring today, like you look at it, Cam Birch with 4 points in 18 minutes, Dragic with 2 points in 14 minutes. That's disappointing. Delano, 0 points in 18 minutes or 8 minutes. Svi Mihailić played 19 minutes, 7 points, you know, two threes basically. And then Bonga played 3 minutes. You don't expect him to score pretty much ever. So you need Boucher to be that guy for you right now, and he has not been that. So, yeah, they definitely need to get Boucher something. And to be honest, I would like to see a two-man game between the two best offensive players off the bench, which is Boucher and Dragic. And there, already so far, I've seen two or three comical sequences where they, at least in Goran's case, he wanted to play a two-man game, but Boucher somehow just completely looked him off. So, that's probably what Nurse wants to see. Let's go to our next caller. We have Mark in Vaughn.
Hey man, how's it going?
I feel like I'm increasingly getting more agitated watching this after this game. Just talking about it.
Yeah, they were, I know. Me too.
Offensively, me too. It was a struggle. Game, yeah.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. But I got a question about Gary Trent. I know, you know, last year we traded Norm for him and Rodney Hood, and Rodney Hood's not here, but we give Gary Trent this big contract, 3 years, $54 million, and he's getting big boy numbers, you know, 20 minutes plus per game. And, you know, when we're losing, I mean, this game and against Washington too, he's just not shooting efficiently. I mean, he went 2 for 9 against Washington. Tonight he went 3, I think, for 14. Like, he's not playing well. And I don't know what it is, like the shot selection, but he really needs to step it up because we're paying him to be a big contributor on this team, and he's just not showing it.
Well, I thought that the Boston game was a great example of what he can do, especially as a two-way player. I thought he really got into the ball and really affected the play, and I thought he was one of the stars of the game. I think I gave him third star yesterday. Today, not as effective. I think, first off, defensively, he just wasn't on the ball as much. And so I think Gary is going to be more effective the more he's guarding the ball, because I think he's so good at swiping and digging and creating deflections. We saw that one late in the game. I think he got a jump ball off of Dorian Finney-Smith, although the refs really screwed that one up because it was actually Scotty Barnes who tied up Dorian Finney-Smith instead of Gary Trent. And that would have likely been a possession given to the Raptors, considering Scotty is so big and athletic. And that was a key point in the game where I would have, you know, needed the Raptors, I guess, to win possession there. In any case, yeah, I do think that Gary needs to affect the offense a little bit more here. I think what we saw against Boston was that he was able to get into the paint a few times, in addition to the fact that he was able to shoot the three and also get out in transition. Today, there was no space in the paint, really. So it was hard for anyone to get to the into the lane. There was no transition at all because the Raptors couldn't create deflections. And so it was just a lot of jumpers for Gary. And yeah, what we've seen when Gary is relying that much on the jumpers, especially the ones where he creates for himself, they haven't really gone in. I didn't really have that big of an issue with his effort today or any sort of even his shot selection was, I mean, it's always, he's always taking difficult shots, but it's not so bad. But it was not the greatest of games. And I think really, one of the best case scenarios for what Gary could be like 2-3 years down the line is something similar to the guy on the other team tonight, Tim Hardaway Jr., a very similar style of player, aggressive two guard, you know, in terms of the way he plays off the ball. Of course, I'm sure if you had a Luka type on this team, that would create a lot more easier opportunities for Gary to affect the game the way, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. is able to get set up by Luka. But you also saw Tim Hardaway Jr. being very effective running that second unit there at the start of the fourth quarter where he got those two threes. It's his movement off the ball. He's so aggressive and he's just sharp in terms of when you see him as a jump shooter, he's really, really elite. And I think you want to see Gary, even though he is a pure shooter, I think you actually want to see him get even better as a shooter, because I think that there is potential here for Gary to not just live up to that contract, but to be a very productive player. And yeah, I think I thought we saw it against Boston and we didn't see it so much today. So let's go to Jesse from Scarborough.
Will, how you doing, my man? My big headed brother. Where are we getting the scoring from the Raptors? I know Van Vliet's gonna give you scoring here. OG you know, plays well sometimes in terms of scoring. I don't see Siakam's going to be back. Well, where is this Raptors team going to score from? I just don't see them scoring enough points to beat some teams this year.
I agree with you. I think that's going to be the huge limiting factor for this team is offensively. Ideally, they score with their athleticism. And what I mean by that is they smother teams defensively. They force turnovers, they force contested misses at the basket, and where the Raptors are able to leak out and run. And you know, I mean, today they got 12 fast break points. Like, I think the Raptors need to score like a minimum of like 25 fast break points to crack the 100 point mark. I think they really need that. And I think the other part in terms of scoring with athleticism is to get on the offensive glass. And we saw Scotty got on there for 4, Precious got there for 3. It's a little bit hard to do that, though, against a team like Dallas because they do have pretty good size. I mean, Porzingis in the middle, 7'3", the tallest man in the building. Well, actually, that's not true, actually. They have Boban off the bench. He's like 7'5". But the tallest guy who got into the game today, Porzingis. Luka is, you know, 6'9", pretty big guy. He's going to rebound as well. 9 rebounds for him. Kristaps, 10 rebounds. You know, Dwight Powell, they play, you know, he's this undersized center, but he's a guy who's going to be physical down there as well. So, you're going to need to offensive rebound. You're going to need to run on transition. And the Raptors didn't do that good of a job of either of that today. So then you're really looking at the talent in terms of the scoring talent of this team. And if we're going to be completely honest about it, that's where they're lacking the most in terms of what they got. So, yeah, this won't be the first time we see the Raptors struggle this season. I'll guarantee that. So we have Ryan from Stouffville.
Hey, how are you? I'm sorry, just turning my radio down.
Oh, it's all good.
Okay, yeah. No, I think we're just right on schedule to where we need to be as a team right now. Especially with the expectations, I think there's a lot of positives to take from it. Coming in, like, a lot of people have, you know, really looked at this Raptor team that they weren't going to do anything. And I honestly believe with a coach like Nick Nurse, especially with the defensive presence, and you said if we get some fast break points, I think the growth is coming there. And it's going to be it's hard for us because as Raptor fans, we got to win the championship. We've been having great playoff success for years. You know, I bet you the Leafs wish they could have had that. But we are, you know, we're in that rebuild phase. And I think that there's a lot of positives. So, of course, we're not going to beat a team like Dallas that has those players, like you just mentioned earlier, that are very key and sharp players to, you know, building a team that I find, like Dallas, they're trending in the right direction. And just because the Raptors aren't, we're not going to have the success against some of these teams doesn't mean that there isn't success within the franchise right now. And as a fan, I'm, you know, I'm happy for the guys. And we're missing some players too, right? So it's going to be one of those seasons where, you know, we're going to have those games, especially on a back-to-back. It's hard for anyone, let alone like an undermanned Raptor team.
That's really, I think that's really well said. I think, yeah, especially if you take the longer perspective, like I'm really happy with the type of talent that the Raptors added to the team this year. Even if you just look at this offseason, you know, Scotty Barnes, Precious Achiuwa, I've been happy with Delano. That's pretty good as an incoming class. I think they obviously got Gary last year at the trade deadline as well. And he's up and down, but he's still like 22 years old. I think there's potential there. We saw that Boston game. That was probably the best game I've seen from Gary as a Raptor in a short time here. Like, yeah, there is development happening. I think the Raptors have an identity that they want to aspire to. And I think that once we see those like flashes of that identity, like we did for pretty much the entire game against Boston, like we did in the first quarter today where Toronto completely bottled up Dallas, at least for the first quarter, it's really fun to watch. It's really exciting. This team is building towards something where they are able to really lock you down. And I think, of course, I mean, I don't think there's one defense in the league that's really managed to lock down Luka. I mean, even the Clippers, who I praise for their defensive strategy against them in the playoffs, even the Clippers, I mean, how many times did we see Luka drop 40 on the Clippers, you know, in the playoffs the last 2 years? Like, of course, that's easier said than done. But there's positives here. And I think that, you know, for Nick, he has to be pretty happy with the defensive effort he's gotten in all three games here. I mean, even today, Dallas shot 42% from the field. I thought the Raptors didn't have as much of their focus for the second half. And even with that, the Dallas only scored 103 points. So I think that the vision is here in terms of what they want to do, in terms of the system they want to play. And I'm personally pretty satisfied with it. So let's go to Vitaly from Moscow. Wow. What's going on, Vitaly?
Good, my friend, good.
What time is it over there, right?
Late tonight. Can you believe it?
I was going to say, what time is it, man? I didn't expect to hear from you in the post game.
So let me tell you what we do. The game, so I went out with some friends.
Uh-huh.
And we come back for about 2:30 to watch the game. And my wife was not happy. She went to sleep early fourth quarter. She didn't want to wait. But I'm with the team. I'm still up, and I saw your Twitter. I said, why not call in?
Yeah, of course.
So
what do you think of the game?
You know what? As with you know, you take the good with the bad, and nice little bounce back game from OG. I wasn't a fan of, you know, a little aggressive with the foul trouble. I don't want to be that guy, but I think maybe some moments we don't get the best whistle tonight. Yeah. But that wasn't the story of the game. I was glad to see OG bounce back. But really, like, you know, in today's NBA, when you give up 103 points, especially, you know, late in the game, couple free throws, that's actually not a terrible defensive effort. Really, the story to me was when we set up our half-court offense when we needed buckets down the stretch, it was awkward. We weren't sure who we were running it through. Dragic was a little bit shaky today, not his best game. Maybe he wanted to help his Slovenian friends. I don't know. Look into it. But you know what? When we have Pascal back, I know people recently, they really fell off on opinion of him. If you remember, Will, the first time I called in, I mentioned to you that many lists early in 2019-20 season, they had Pascal as top 10 player. He made All-NBA second team that year. We were super high on him. He was getting 35 efficiently. And people forget how good he is. So let me tell you, to the people hating, wait till Pascal is back. Wait till he has a healthy shoulder. He's playing in Toronto, not in Tampa. That he's getting the ball in good positions, making the right pass. We will have league average offense by the time that he's back. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And honestly, I miss Pascal so much today, both ends of the floor. I think defensively, if you had Pascal, you can go to your five wings lineup or at least four wings with, you know, Fred or whoever the point guard is. I think that, you know, obviously the offense, you need somebody to be able to score inside for this team consistently. And I think, you know, Pascal would have done a good job of that. And honestly, I mean, someone to get to the line, someone to, you know, create for others. Like, there's a lot of things that Pascal does for this team. I'm not surprised that they're struggling offensively without him, especially with the fact that some of the other guys that you expect to maybe step up in his place haven't, right? You expected Boucher to do that. I guess he got hurt in training camp, so he's a little bit behind the curve. But I think some of the shot selection is, I mean, you can't chalk that up to rust. You have to chalk that up to how you're reading the game. Yeah, I think you have to be pretty happy, especially with the defensive effort. And we know this team's going to struggle offensively. I think it's just hard sometimes watching it. But this is a reality of the team at the moment. They're a team in transition. They're a team building. And they're a team without their best player. Like, this is going to happen. So let's get to our last caller tonight before we take some Twitter questions. We have Sean from New England.
Hey, how's it going? Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Sean. What's going on?
Awesome. First, I just wanted to say I'm a huge fan of you and your work. I've been able to listen to you on, like, Locked On Raptors as a guest. And I always thought it was funny that, especially when Lou Williams was on the Raptors and your name. So I kind of wanted to give you a shout-out there. And kind of just in terms of us this year as, like, a long-term Raptors fan, I do really think that, honestly, we are on really a positive trend. I know the last couple of callers have been kind of saying that. But we really were up in a lot of this game. The big thing here, I think, is having that defense and having that transition. The thing is, I don't think you can teach defense as easily as you can work through offensive difficulty, getting creative. Obviously, will always be hard against these top teams with top players. But I think, especially when Siakam can come back, we can almost have three players in VanVleet, Ananobi, and Siakam, almost all averaging 20 a game, optimistically. Obviously, different nights could depend. Hopefully, with Scotty Barnes, that's another potentially 15 to 20 there. That gets us to 80 points. With our defense holding teams almost under 100, I think that's honestly incredible given today's day and age. And very rarely you see teams even averaging less than 100 points a game compared to 5 years ago. So I think the defensive tendencies that we're showing and this transition is really promising signs. As long as you can get more creative on offense and really make other teams not be able to predict where we're going to be going, I think our success is really unlimited. I think we could do even something similar to what the Knicks did last year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's the – I mean, first off, thanks for the call and thanks for the kind words. That's really appreciated. I think that's the goal of this team is to be special defensively, and we keep seeing it in spurts. I mean, to be honest, we've seen it over three games. If the offense hasn't been this bad, the Raptors could easily be 3-0. When you hold Washington under 100, you hold Boston to 83. Off a game, they scored like 140 the night before. And then 103 here with Dallas, and that's with Luka controlling the ball every single trip down, like an MVP candidate. Like, that is really impressive stuff. Now, the Raptors do need to find their offense. They need to, as you mentioned, finding a couple more creative ways to sort of play, because it does feel like a lot of the Raptors' offense, especially when they're sort of stuck in the mud, is sort of you know, pitching it back and forth on the perimeter, a couple dribble handoffs, kind of stuff that is not really shifting the defense the same way. And of course, they don't have their the guy who affects the paint the most right now in Pascal, so that's always going to hurt your offense. But yeah, I think there's a pretty good foundation for what they've done here. I think Nick has done a really good job of installing the defense. I think he's managing these games quite well, and there's just a couple more things, obviously, that he's going to have to add in terms of diversifying the offense, in terms of getting some of his rotations completely down. I think obviously the main issue was the starting five, getting Gary in there. He's done that. I think he's looked good in the two games. Well, I guess a game and a half, really, because I thought he was kind of half good, half bad in this one. And then now that you have Gary in the starting lineup, then it's like, okay, how do you find offense off the bench? And you need, you know, Boucher and Dragic to start getting it going, and those guys don't really have it. So this is not a surprise. This is a young team, and we're going to see some growing pains. I think Vitaly said it best on the Friday call-in show, where he said it's going to be some wins and lessons in this season. And yeah, there's going to be some wins and lessons. So I'm going to bang in a couple of Twitter questions. So thanks everyone who sent them in on Twitter. Jeff wrote in, starters did fine. Bench was awful. Last 5 minutes of the second quarter, when we were up 10 and OG and Barnes got in foul trouble, cost us. Luka got going. I'd like to see Nurse drop some plays for Barnes. Best option to create until offense returns, or until Pascal returns. I agree with Jeff here. Pretty much all of it. I think, yeah, the end of the second quarter was unfortunate because the Raptors were looking strong there. It looked like they were going to go into the half up 10. And in a position of strength, but foul trouble really hurt the Raptors, and especially allowed Luka to get going. And yeah, I think in terms of a couple more plays for Barnes, I agree. To be honest, it's not necessarily about Nurse always calling the plays for Barnes so much as just Scotty understanding that it's okay for him to take over. It's okay for him to not, you don't have to be polite and wait. Like you notice early in the game, Scotty's not that involved, and then late in the game, he is involved. You don't have to wait. Honestly, don't wait for your turn. Just take it. You have a great advantage most times. He's so physical. He's so big. He's shown pretty good touch, honestly. When he drives in, he's always taking contact. He's strong enough to finish through that contact. He's got good enough touch. We saw him convert an and one in the fourth quarter there. Yeah, do it. And I think, honestly, that's something where Nick doesn't even have to drop the specific play for Scotty so much as just he's got to get in his ear, and his teammates got to get in his ear like, hey, you're one of the best players on the team right now. Just go with it. And I think even if he doesn't score, or even if he doesn't deliver specifically in that moment, we all understand what us as Raptor fans want to see right now is Scotty doing things, testing his limits, because so far it's been very exciting. So Ken wrote in, with the starters all playing well right now, who do you see getting bumped to the bench when Pascal returns? Well, I think to me, I probably want to see Pascal in for Precious. And that's not to say Precious is playing poorly. I think he's been productive. But I do want to see what it looks like when they have only wings out there. But if they want to put in Pascal for Gary, I think that does really limit the amount of shootings in the starting lineup. But I think that would make probably the scariest defensive group. But I think one thing I'm certain of is I don't want to see Barnes come out of that starting five. He's been really exciting. Toom asks, I have three issues that I hope you touch on. One, Fred VanVleet driving to the paint feels like an imminent turnover. I think, okay, I hear you on that. I don't think Fred is a high turnover player. Fred tonight, 39 minutes, 17 shots, 5 assists, 3 turnovers. I think that's below average, really, for that usage. It's mostly just the fact that he can't get the shot off very easily. I think that is something to be concerned with, but that's one of Fred's physical limitations. The number two is that Trent, hope he had learned from last game that he does not need to shoot every single time down the floor. I hear you, but also this game, the Raptors really struggled offensively. They needed to generate something. It wasn't like a lot of players had it going. I didn't really mind as much of what the types of shots Trent was taking. He just didn't make some of them tonight. But I think his overall aggression has been solid, and defensively I've been pretty impressed. And then center, he says, love Achiuwa and Birch for certain matchups, but we need a big. That I hear, I find that a little bit interesting after a game like this, because what it seemed like was Kem, being a traditional big, was really too slow-footed to stay up with Luka, and Luka torched them on pick and roll like over and over again. That was part of the reason why the Raptors' defense came apart in the second quarter, in addition to the foul trouble. Yeah, if anything, I actually kind of wanted to see Achiuwa more today instead of Birch. But, yeah, I mean, I could see other matchups where, you know, having a big on the floor would really hurt the Raptors a little bit. We got a couple more questions here. Does Dragic always play at this pace, or is it his age? I think it is probably his age. I think he does play at a decent pace. He just hasn't really been as aggressive as maybe I've seen him in the past. Like, I think he's always been a guy who takes a lot of contact, and especially when he drives to the basket, he's kind of fearless. I haven't really seen him put his body on the line all that much early on. And I think, you know, you can speculate into that what you will, but to be honest, I would like to see him more aggressive going to the basket, play more downhill. That's what Dragic has always been best at doing. We have another question. Will the Raptors ever run a pick and roll again? I thought the Raptors ran plenty of pick and rolls today, more today than in other games. I think in half court settings, they do have to rely on some of it, especially with Fred. Fred definitely needs a screen to get going if he's going to initiate. And I think he was okay in the pick and roll today. We saw him score three times in the mid-range. I know that's been a big gripe, is that Fred doesn't have the in-between game. Well, he showed it today, so I'm not unhappy with that at all. And then the last two questions from Michael and another Twitter user has been, why does Nurse hate Flynn, essentially? And I think in a game like this, you might have wanted to see Malachi. I mean, I understand giving Goran the first look because he's a vet. He's a guy who's proven. He's a guy who's been a lot more productive than Flynn was even last year when Flynn was at his peak in that month of April where he won Rookie of the Month. So I understand that. You don't want to bench the veteran like this early into the season. But at the same time, like, if you're really struggling for offense, like, why can't Malachi get on the floor just a little bit? I mean, maybe you get him in instead of Svi Mihailuk, who I haven't really been that impressed with. He keeps leaving his feet to pass, and it's very erratic to me. But yeah, I would like to see Malachi at least get a chance, right? I mean, look, it's not really about, you know, getting Malachi going. It's really about maximizing the team. But having said that, though, why can't Malachi at least get a chance to affect the game? I mean, he can't affect the game. He can't really get himself out the doghouse unless he gets a few minutes here. And in a game where you really struggle for offense, maybe at the start of the fourth quarter there when Luka wasn't on, you bring in Flynn to at least try to see what he has offensively, because you needed a spark. And perhaps, I think, you know, if the Raptors are in a similar situation, Nick tries something there with Malachi. But yeah, so far he hasn't factored in, which is unfortunate for the second year point guard. In terms of the three stars from this game, I'm going to give the first star to Fred VanVleet. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal. Just created things for the Raptors when they really were stuck in the mud there. And I appreciate what Fred has done for this team. You know, people have been down on him so far this season. I think he's, you know, the leader of the team, and he played like it today. Of course, there's only so much he can do, but he played well, and he did the most that he could do tonight. I'm going to give the second star to Scotty Barnes. 17 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. This is a little biased. I think maybe OG played better than on the whole, but I think Scotty did more towards the end of the game, and I'm a little bit more biased towards the end of the game than the first half. You know, that's just kind of how you would naturally receive it, is if you make a big play in the fourth quarter, that's more memorable than the first. But Scotty was good, and he really turned it on in the fourth quarter. I just wish he wasn't in foul trouble, because this was a game where I would have loved to see what Scotty Barnes would have done with, you know, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, because he probably would have gone to 20 again. And this is for a guy who supposedly is behind on his offensive development. I don't see him behind in anything right now. And then third star, OG Anunoby, 23 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. Was really, really good, especially at the start of the game. Just dominant. He faded in the second half, but it's very encouraging to see him bounce back after the two really, really stinkers that he had against Washington and against Boston. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's got to go to Tim Hardaway Jr., 25 points in 39 minutes. Burned the Raptors for 7 threes. Just, I mean, I know he can score, but it felt like he was scoring so easily. The Raptors kept losing him in rotation, especially off the bench. You know, in terms of when Tim Hardaway Jr. was the focal point when Luka sat, he kept the offense alive, and that hurt the Raptors more than anything else. So that does it for the Raptors Reaction Podcast. You've been listening to the Raptors show on Sportsnet Fam 590. As a reminder, you can listen to the Raptors show every Monday to Friday between 2 and 3 p.m. That's with myself and Alex Wong. And otherwise, you can find a podcast wherever you find podcasts. And I hope you subscribe and review and continue to listen. So thanks everyone for tuning in to the Raptors Reaction Podcast, and I'll see you after the next game.